Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Lovely Saturday. It is Clark leading Stevens by three. Scheffler, Kim, tied for third at one under par. Just about everybody in the field backing up. Scheffler made a bogey at 17. Once again, Wyndham Clark all alone at six under par. One over on his round today at the U.S. Open. Sam Stevens, he's even on his round at minus three. And Scotty Scheffler, one under on his round. And once again, sitting in a tie for third with Tom Kim. Morikawa, Shoffley, Thigala, Burns, all in a group at even under par. So things are tough on Long Island at the U.S. Open. Twins are in Arizona taking on the Diamondbacks. Arizona won at 9-5. Game two of the three-game set coming up tonight. Lineup card at 8:30, first pitch at 9:10. Bobby Nightingale, good enough to join us from the Valley of the Sun. And Bobby, good to visit with you as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, is it triple digits in Phoenix today?
Yeah, it's June, so that's I feel like anything under 110 is a nice day.
Yeah, for sure. As we've said, it's a dry heat. It's a little bit different than 95 and humid. Here in the Twin Cities. The Twins had a really good run in Texas, unusual three games over 4 days down there. They played really well down in Arlington.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you have to give them credit for kind of controlling the games the way they did. Especially, I mean, they scored in the first inning every game. They never trailed in any of the games. They pitched well. Bullpen held up fine, so... Yeah, I mean, with complete games, I mean, I think that the three-game total was 25-7, how much they outscored them by. So I think that speaks to kind of how thoroughly the three games went.
Yeah, the Rangers haven't had a particularly good season, but the Twins go in there, four-game streak. They saw it come to an end, and it was really the fielding that was their undoing in that game Friday night in Arizona, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you can't give a team extra outs, let alone several extra outs in the same inning. Two double play balls they booted. That only turned into one out total. There was a balk in there. There's another misplay that probably could have been called an error. So, yeah, I mean, it was an ugly fifth inning. They gave up four runs in that. Obviously, it hurts. Changes the kind of the complexion of the game if they're winning. They probably use different relevers. End up giving up a three-run triple to Corbin Carroll there in the eighth inning to make the score kind of a little bit more distant. But I mean, it was a one-run game in the middle of the eighth inning. They had a chance to win it. Defense cost them, and then pitching hurt them late.
Yeah, and Bobby, in your gamer, you alluded to the fact that this was a concern about this ball club going into the season with the makeup that, you know, infield defensively at times was going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Brooks Lee, playing him at shortstop, obviously they moved him to third base already, but, you know, there are questions about whether he could handle it. I mean, there was a reason why Carlos Correa was the starting shortstop and Brooks Lee was kind of moving around the rest of the infield, and then as soon as Carlos Correa gets traded, he starts playing third base and says, you know, he stopped kind of viewing himself as a shortstop. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it starts. I mean, defense starts up the middle, and shortstop and second base has been kind of a black hole for them defensively. I mean, Tristan Gray struggled as much as Brooks Lee has, and Ryan Kreidler's been better, but obviously he doesn't kind of have the offensive track record that the other guys do, and he's going to have to earn a little bit more of his opportunities. But, you know, if you're relying on defense, I mean, that just hasn't been a thing for the Twins the past few years. I mean, they've tried to kind of outslug their defense a little bit, and kind of same thing with Luke Kuechel at second base, where, you know, they're hoping to get more offensive production than, you know, kind of the defense that the defensive liability there.
And certainly injuries and circumstance, they've had to run Connor Prelip out there, and, you know, he's had his moments, but it's probably not an ideal situation to have, you know, Prelip taking the ball every fifth day?
I mean, I think he's up for it. I think obviously they're down an extra starter. So, I mean, that even with Mick Abel on the verge of returning, that'll just give him five healthy starters. So he'll still stay in the rotation. I think the thing that hurts them is they don't really have the flexibility to kind of manage him the way they really want to. I mean, this is a guy who has thrown 80 innings maximum in a season before. I mean, that's his highest total. So they do have to be cautious with his innings because you can't just go from 80 to 150 and expect him to stay healthy, especially with his injury history already. So I think that's what they want to be cautious about. You know, anytime you're relying on a rookie in your rotation, there's going to be some growing pains that go with it. I think he's had some, but, you know, I think he pitched better yesterday than kind of the stats showed for him. I mean, if he had a better defensive fifth inning, I think, you know, he has a quality start.
You know, the one thing you can say about Prelip, though, in starts this year where he's maybe got nicked early, he's still been able to hang in there and get through five, or as far as Friday night goes, six innings. So in that respect, they've been able to let him work through it, if you will.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the growing pains that he's going to have, especially. Yeah. I mean, even more so than other guys. He barely pitched in the minor leagues. I mean, you're talking about 150 minor league innings coming once he got called up. So, I mean, it's not like he has this a ton of background to go off of. I mean, he's just dealt with so many injuries since college that he's more inexperienced than your average 26-year-old. And I think that plays into it where it's like, okay, he's got to learn how to go through a lineup a third time through. He's got to learn how to do these things. Because before the season, I mean, he had one six-inning start in his career, and that was the last start of last season. So, you know, this is kind of new to him, facing a lineup for a third time and balancing your pitches that way and attacking hitters differently each time through. So these are all, you know, things he has to check off the list. And I think he's doing an okay job of it. But it's just one of those you're going to have to live with the growing pains when you have a rookie in the rotation.
Bobby Nightingale joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He's in Arizona covering the Twins. Twins and Diamondbacks late tonight. Lineup card 8:30, first pitch after 9 o'clock. Taj Bradley on the mound. More on that in a bit. Bobby, as you get to late June, not only talk about the All-Star break and who the All-Star candidates are and who deserves, a guy that just flat out comes to mind, and hopefully everyone sees fit to put Byron Buxton in center field for the American League at the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has a good chance of starting. He was fourth, and I think the initial vote tally, and now Aaron Judge is with an injury. Mike Trout just went on the injured list. So I think that bodes a better chance for him that he's going to get a chance to start in the All-Star game. And it's, you know, it's well-deserved. I mean, if you take away the first 2 weeks when he struggled coming off the World Baseball Classic, didn't get a ton of at-bats in that. Since then, I mean, he's been one of the best two or three hitters in baseball. So, you know, great, worthy candidate for him. I mean, his power kind of speaks for itself, his base running, his defense. So, you know, he's been the total team MVP for the Twins this year.
Yeah, and, you know, back-to-back good years. 2025 didn't go the way anybody had hoped, but it was such a good year for Buxton. And for him to be able to follow that up is so gratifying. And, you know, as a result of his good year, you know, you start hearing Byron Buxton's name and trade rumors, and is he going to go to a contender? He's been adamant, again, he wants to stay here. He wants to finish his career in a Twins uniform. He makes that very clear.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to him, you know, several times over the past few years about it. I mean, his answer's never changed, and he controls all the cards. I mean, he has a complete no-trade clause, so even if the Twins did want to trade him, and even if a contender, you know, had the perfect trade package they wanted to do, I mean, it's up to him to decide if he ever wanted to take it. So he controls everything. I do think playing with Joe Mauer early in his career had a big impact on him. I mean, a guy who played with one team his entire baseball life, and I think that's something he wants to do. I mean, it's such a rare thing these days, and I get there's people that are like, okay, if the team's struggling, why not go try to chase a ring somewhere? But even you see guys like Mike Trout do the same thing. I mean, there is a loyalty aspect to it that that shouldn't be lost. I mean, I do think he sees it as, you know, he signed an extension with the Twins. He wants to finish that contract and wants to play out the rest of his career with the Twins because they were the team that drafted him, gave him a chance, and stuck by him during the, you know, when he had some down years with injuries.
Yeah, and I think there is just a continuity, family, lifestyle, all of that, bouncing around, getting set up somewhere else, and, you know, keeps being tied to his hometown in Atlanta, but, you know, there's no guarantee on that as well. So, you know, Byron Buxton's been pretty adamant. Now, another name that comes up is Joe Ryan, his age, his contract status, et cetera. There would be a ton of teams interested in Joe Ryan. Question is, you know, would the Twins be willing to move on? Are they going to try and extend? There's more moving parts with Joe Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, if you're not going to win this year, he has one more year before he becomes a free agent after the season. So that kind of enters the calculus. I don't think they're anywhere close to an extension. The last time I checked, there's no movement on that front. So I think it's one of those, yeah, sure, maybe it makes sense. But also, the Twins are two games out of a playoff spot right now. I can't really see them blowing up their season and next season, because it's hard to replace a Joe Ryan in your rotation if you're going to make that type of deal at the deadline.
Yeah, and having him under control, considering the uncertainty of 2027 in the major leagues, we have no idea what the offseason and next season is going to look like, Bobby. And as we get into June and toward the All-Star break, I think the talk of what will next year look like, will there be a next year, that chatter will continue to ramp up.
Yeah, and I think I take the view of it as, you know, you have to assume there's going to be a next season, a full next season. I mean, if there's not, I mean, you have bigger problems to worry about than, you know, how much longer you have Joe Ryan under contract. I mean, the sport will have much bigger issues. So, I think that's fair to question. I'm sure that'll come up around the trade deadline as teams not willing to part with prospects the same way because of the uncertainty of how many games will get played next year with a lockout, pretty much a certainty this offseason. So I'm sure that'll come up. But, you know, Joe Ryan, if you're a contending team, I'm sure they'll make their pitches. You know, he's a guy that you would start in a playoff game, and there's not many starters that have the ability to do that. And if you're the Twins, I mean, if you're at the same spot, two games out of a playoff spot in August, so, you know, I can't see them waving the white flag 2 years in a row, especially the way fans reacted to last year. It's hard for me to see Tom Pola, the way he spoke in the offseason and spring training, you know, about how much they have money to upgrade the roster, how much they want to make a splash and kind of find the right time to do that. If there's a chance, even a small chance at a playoff spot, I think they'll push for it.
Yeah, and I think also you look next year, assuming that everything works out in the offseason, players and owners get together, you got Joe Ryan, you would assume Pablo Lopez would be available, and Taj Bradley, and then all of a sudden it's like, I think there's a lot of clubs in the major leagues that would love to have a top three in their starting rotation going into 2027.
Yeah, and I mean, that was kind of the focus this year. I mean, when they entered spring training, that was kind of the reason they were optimistic as they were about the starting rotation, was saying, you know, there's the worst places to start off than if you have Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez and Taj Bradley. And, you know, even goes on, you know, Bailey Ober, McAble, and those guys. So, I mean, I think that's kind of where they entered the season. Now, obviously, the bullpen was the big issue entering the season, infield defense, as we mentioned earlier. But, you know, if Pablo Lopez was still healthy, I mean, obviously this is a different looking team. So, I think that factors in too. I mean, if you're going to trade a guy like Joe Ryan, it's not like next year you're going to have another type of Joe Ryan on your team. It's hard to find number two starters as it is. So it's really hard to trade those guys away.
All right, Bobby, one final thought before we let you go. And there's been a talk a lot about pitching and the bullpen and position players. But one guy released by the Phillies, picked up, Cody Clemens, has found a home. You know, a Swiss Army knife, can play all over, done a really nice job, has hit for some power. I mean, this is a really good story, and you got to be happy for a guy like Cody Clemens.
Yeah, I mean, talk about getting an opportunity and running with it. I mean, it was one of those. He was only on the roster because, you know, Luke Kuechel broke his arm and they needed someone kind of in an emergency, and he was available, and Twins picked up on him. And, I mean, who would have guessed, you know, he was going to be playing some center field this year, playing the outfield as well, much as he has. He's still crushing right-handed pitching like he did last year. I mean, he was a good story last year, but the ability to continue on it, you know, when teams are kind of gearing up for him, he's hitting at the top of the lineup. It shouldn't go under the radar. I mean, it's been a nice success story for Cody Clemens, and you know, it's a big boost for the Twins. I mean, I don't think they're in the spot they are this season without him.
Well, Bobby, always good to visit with you. Trip to Arizona, and then huge series coming up at Target Field, the Dodgers, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I think people have to be revved up to CLA and that gigantic payroll.
Yeah, I heard it's they're looking at 30,000 plus for the first game there, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after that. Otani might pitch Wednesday, so yeah, it should be a fun environment back in Minnesota. I mean, Dodgers coming to town, I think anywhere is a big draw these days, but always fun. I mean, especially when Dodgers only come once every 2 years, to see Otani come to town is that'll be a treat.
Well, and to see him pitch as well, or the opportunity to see him pitch. Bobby, always great. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Yeah, Bobby Nightingale covers the Twins for the Star Tribune. Late ball game tonight, rare West Coast tilt. Twins and Diamondbacks from Arizona will be on the air at 8:30. Lineup card, first pitch after 9 o'clock tonight here on the home of the Twins, News Talk, 830-WCCO.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It is not often we have to update the roads in the summer on the weekend, but we did get a text, and you're always welcome to text us at, or call for that matter, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. But there's a lot going on I-35W and 94, where they come together just near downtown Minneapolis, 94, around downtown, and the 35W Commons area. There is a crash in that area on one side, southbound, and then there is a stall northbound, so both directions in that I-94 35W Commons, just south of downtown, just south of U.S. Bank Stadium, is really backed up at this hour. So you got a stall on one side and a crash on the other. So be aware of that. For the time being, you may want to avoid the area and take alternate routes. So there you go. A Jonathan World Cup, and it's not an upset, but there was one in the works, and this would have been a gigantic upset early in the World Cup.
Yeah, so Germany and Ivory Coast were playing, and they just got done about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And 25 minutes ago, and Ivory Coast took a lead in the first half, about 30 minutes in, the 30-minute mark of the first half. Held on until about, I want to say, 67, 68 minutes in, basically about the hydration break period of the second half. But Germany got a goal, pressing toward the Ivory Coast goal. They equalized at one, and then late in stoppage time, at basically there were 6 minutes of stoppage time. It was about 4 minutes, three, 4 minutes in. Germany [S2] Wow. [S1] Gets a pass into their striker, who turns, gets it past the keeper. Germany pulls it out 2-1, and they end up winning their group. So they've advanced. I believe they've won their group. So that means that Germany will move on. They should be representing the group as the top overall seed out of that group. But it was Ivory Coast held the lead for a long time, and they had a few chances to try to at least get some shots on goal, and they tried to be too fine. They tried to get it into the perfect position for the perfect shot instead of maybe taking a shot early on from when the ball was at their feet, and Germany was able to recover and mess up those shots, block those shots, break up the attempts.
Yeah, and so far there's some good stories in this World Cup. By the way, the United States won their first two. They beat Australia 2-0 in Seattle. Looked like a great scene there. And then I'm going to just pronounce it Turkey. I know you've probably got the proper pronunciation.
They now say Turkey-ay. So it's Turkey with an A on it. Turkey-ay.
Turkey-ay. Thank you. And Jonathan, over the years, you've been very good about setting me straight on some of this stuff. That would be the final game of pool play, but the United States is already through.
That's right. You know, that's right. And yeah. Because Paraguay beat Turkey-ay last night, they not only got through, but they've won their group. So they will face a much better situation as far as the round of 32 when that's decided. And they'll play a third-place team. And they will also apparently stay out on the West Coast. That part of the bracket will be on the West Coast up through the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and so far they've been in L.A., they've been in Seattle. Where's the Turkey-ay match?
Back in L.A.
Oh, so it is back in L.A. at SoFi Stadium. And there's been a lot of hand-wringing going into this World Cup. I'm not a huge soccer fan. I'll follow the Loons and how they're doing and that sort of thing. And a World Cup, how the United States is doing. I wouldn't say I've watched a ton of either of their matches so far. But what I've been interested in, there's a lot of hand-wringing about, you know, would people come to the States? How would it go? So on and so forth. Now, there have been some sad stories about people being kept out of the country and the drama with Iran and all of that sort of stuff. I get it. The official from Somalia who wasn't allowed into the country, etc. So there's been those stories. My favorite so far, and maybe you've got some, are the Scottish fans in Boston. Some of those stories. They almost ran out of beer in downtown Boston. And I think they played at Gillette Stadium early. A lot of these Scottish fans ended up at Fenway Park for a Red Sox game. I mean, some of the videos and some of these fan bases, the Norwegian fans, etc., it seems like most of the fans who've come to the States have had a pretty good time so far.
Yeah, I would think that if you can get here, there are, and someone brought this up last night. I was out last night, and there are a couple people bringing it up where, you know, we're not all bad. We're not all, you know, these type of bleeps and everything. And
sure,
I think there's usually a thing with, you know, a government versus the people that the government runs. And you could say that about many countries where the people are great. The citizens are awesome. The government stinks. And so I think that is one of the prevailing things about what's happened with this World Cup, is that government intervention is, and not just that, but also FIFA prices. You know, prices to these to these games have apparently just shot out the roof. Putting those together, it doesn't make for a welcoming experience.
Correct. But the people who have come and spent the money appear to be having a grand old time. I saw a couple of posts on social media for folks that have been to matches at SoFi in L.A. and up in Seattle, just said, you know, the stadiums are spectacular. You know, the people are great. It was, you know, it's just been a great time. And hopefully everyone has a good, safe time here in North America as a whole for the World Cup. Because, you know, even if you're not a soccer fan, this is right up there with the Olympics as gigantic worldwide sporting events. I mean, this is around the world a very big deal, what's going on in the World Cup, for sure. Quick break. We have an update on the weather. Then we'll do read and react, simple game. I get three questions. Lindsay generally, well, Lindsay doesn't see him. Jonathan won't see him. And then he's got three for me. We'll do that. We'll put a bow on it. By the way, Wyndham Clark leading Tom Kim by two. Scotty Scheffler, the lead in the clubhouse, he put up a 69. He's at one under par with Sam Stevens. Colin Morikawa in a group, even par. We'll have the weather in a moment.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are on a Saturday. Lindsey Brown is off. Jonathan Lowe is in. Always good to work with Jonathan. And Jonathan, I don't want to bring it up, but summer goes quick. We got July, August, and then into September. And you know what that means? College football final.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Yeah. We've done that a few years. I don't want to think about it. I saw a social media post and it had a countdown to like the Gopher football opener. I'm not ready for that.
Not yet.
Ready for NFL training camp.
Nope.
Not ready for that. Yeah. I don't know about you.
No, not even close.
Not ready for football.
You know, we got major championship golf.
Yeah.
We've got,
for sure.
We've still got Wimbledon. We've got the baseball season. Got the WNBA season with the Lynx on fire. Not the time.
Too early.
Too early.
For sure. By the way, Lynx beat Golden State 81-75. Sunday, 5 o'clock, it'll be the Lynx and the Mystics from Target Center. And that'll be on NBA TV and Victory Plus. I've caught some Lynx games on Victory Plus. Super easy. Good stuff to get it, so you can catch the Lynx there. They are idle today. All right, let's get into Read and React, little game we play each and every Saturday, usually with Lindsey Brown, but Jonathan Lowe is here. We each get three simple questions. Can be on anything, sports, food, pop culture, news headlines, whatever. And Jonathan, why don't you get us started with number one?
Okay, so these three questions will kind of touch on things that have been discussed at some point during your time on the air today. We'll go back to the last segment, talking about the World Cup. Outside of the United States, is there a team or which country would you be rooting for in the tournament? Do you have a specific team outside the U.S. that you would be rooting for to win the tournament?
Easy. And I alluded to the Scottish fans. My family name comes from Scotland. And considering what a good time they've had, and I would assume will continue to have here in the States rooting on their team, if not the United States, Scotland. Easy.
That's fair.
That's a good one.
I like that.
I always like to bring up food in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
And it may annoy Lindsay, but I'm going to, and I may have asked you this. I don't keep great notes, but Jonathan, at this moment in time, on June 20th, what is your favorite dessert?
You have asked me this before.
Yeah.
I have answered.
Right now, has it changed? What's your favorite dessert? Because I'm a dessert guy.
So, I know before I talked about creme brulee.
Oh, yeah.
However.
That's more of a winter heavy
yes,
thing.
There is a bag of cookies sitting off to my right that I got from one of the gluten-free bakeries in town before the shift today, and two chocolate chip and two peanut butter.
Oh.
And so chocolate chip cookies are basically in the top three for me. A really good chocolate chip cookie, you just can't go wrong with just a good fresh baked, whether you're gluten free or not, or whether you know nut free or anything.
Soft or crispy cookies.
They're soft right now because I will take a couple days to go through them. They'll stiffen up, but they when you buy them, they are soft.
All right. I do remember the creme brulee, but you know, in the summer, it seems a little heavy to me. All right,
I agree. I can understand that.
All right, number two to you. What do you got?
All right, this goes back to your conversation at the beginning of it with Jess Myers, something that he noted that you agreed with about your neighbors and what not to do. So, off of that, what is your biggest no-no when it comes to etiquette amongst neighbors?
It hit a nerve when he sent out that post about the chainsaw at 7 a.m. I think early power equipment is right there. You know, out there running the mower, the blower, the snow thrower isn't a big deal because people have to get up and clear the snow and go to work on a weekday.
They're circumstances. Yeah. That's a different circumstance. But just, you know, to pretty up the lawn or to do something like that, you know.
Yeah,
or
just let the yard get out of control. but if I had to pick one, I think it was in that conversation with Jess, just the early use on a Saturday or Sunday of outdoor power equipment. N-O. Bad form. All right, number two to you. You grew up in a town with a great park, the home of the Royals, Kauffman Stadium. It sounds like they may move downtown to a new park, but I think the home of the Royals over the years, Kauffman Stadium, is just a gem. I've always enjoyed my visits there. I've always enjoyed the old Met, the Metrodome, Target Field. I've had a chance to go to some other major league parks. But what major league park that you haven't been to yet is at the top of your list? It could be PNC in Pittsburgh, Petco in San Diego. What is on your bucket list for major league ballparks?
I would say pretty stock and standard for a lot of baseball fans, Wrigley Field.
Oh, wow.
I would love to see a game at Wrigley.
Oh, you got to do it.
I actually have a quick story. I was in the vicinity of there. So my brother used to live in Chicago.
Sure.
And there was a time of... So in 04, there was a group of weather people, meteorologists, that got together. We were all basically lumped together under the same mentor. And so we started doing, in the basically the late 90s, early 2000s, there were some quote-unquote reunions because these people were spread all across the country. Most of us were broadcast meteorologists. And so we decided, our mentor decided to have a reunion in Chicago. So I decided to make basically a week out of it. I was going to, you know, have the weekend with my group, the group I was in. I was going to stay a couple nights with my brother, and then there was another friend of mine from out west that had moved to Chicago. I was going to spend a night with her and just, you know, chill out. And so we got through the weekend. I stayed with my buddy, got through the weekend, and so I'm staying with my brother and my sister-in-law. And my brother has a concert, and he's a musician, by the way. And he has a concert at a bar that's just off the L. So from their place, I walk over to the L stop. I take the L. I get off.
Yeah.
And I'm not even thinking about this. I get off, I believe it was the Clark stop. And so I'm walking. I have to go around, down a couple blocks, and then turn right, and then the bar will be right there. As I'm walking, I notice this concrete structure on my right side. I'm like, what is this? What is this building? It's just some office building here in this amongst the neighborhood. And then all of a sudden, I see the statue of Harry Carey. I'm walking around the outside of Wrigley Field.
Wow.
I believe my brother's concert was at a bar on Addison. And of course, Clark and Addison is the intersection where you enter into Wrigley Field. So I didn't even realize it until I saw the statue. I'm like, oh my God, I'm outside of Wrigley.
That's pretty cool.
Getting back to the L, I kind of walked around the other way, and in the dark I could see in the background kind of the spooky sea that you see when it's dark outside. I saw the scoreboard in the background walking around the other side of Wrigley. So that's kind of my story with
Wrigley. You got to get there.
Yes.
I've been to a game there. Really good stuff. Worth it. All right. Number three to you.
Okay. This goes back to your conversation that you had early in the hour with Bobby Nightingale from The Strip. Next week, in a couple of days, it's going to be a very welcome series to Target Field. How much of a chance do you give the Twins to win said series against the two-time defending champion LA Dodgers?
Oh, yeah. It's regular season Major League Baseball. Yeah, they got a chance to win a couple against the Dodgers. I think game in, game out over 162 games. Yeah, and if the Twins played like they did in Texas, maybe not like they played last night in Arizona, kicking it around with the glove, they got a shot. And I think for any fan to potentially have the chance to see Ohtani is worth going out to the ballpark. And the weather looks really good on Monday. Tuesday, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Wednesday, it looks pretty good, and they're all night games at Target Field. All right, final question, then we'll break. Since it is the U.S. Open, and they are at Shinnecock, by the way, Wyndham Clark at 6-under par, he is 5 clear. Scottie Scheffler, Tom Kim, and Sam Stevens now all tied for second at 3-under par. Scheffler has the clubhouse lead at the U.S. Open at 1-under par. I know it's the U.S. Open this week, but what is your favorite major in golf and why?
I would probably say the U.S. Open because of the difficulty, just the kind of the NASCAR crash element of it.
And anybody can get in.
Anybody can get in. Yes, it is an open tournament. You have seasoned professionals that have to go through qualifying to get into the field if they're not qualified through a very high set of standards. I do like the Open Championship, the British Open. I do like the creativity of Lynx Golf.
Yeah.
But there is something to seeing these guys struggle. And if there's no wind over in Britain, there's usually not too much of a struggle. So I'd probably say the U.S. Open. But it's narrow margins between all four. I enjoy watching all four of them.
Yeah, for sure. Very enjoyable. And, of course, the first of the year, the Masters and Augusta National, all good. By the way, nice up and down for Wyndham Clark. He is still at 6-under par, still holes to play in the wind on Long Island in the final holes of the third round. So it looks like it could be Clark with Scheffler because he's at 1-under par, and that's tied for a second, and I think it's the first in.
FIFO, first in, first. I'm sorry, FILO, first in, last out. So the first person that gets in at that score, especially on the weekend, they get the opportunity to go out last later with the later groups.
All right, we got to run to a break. We'll come back, put a bow on it. Twins and Diamondbacks later. If you're looking for the Twins on the radio, lineup card 8:30, first pitch after 9 o'clock from Phoenix. Taj Bradley on the mound, good chance for the home nine to get another win on the road here on News Talk 830-WCCO. U.S. Open leaderboard update. And Wyndham Clark, still your leader at 6 under par. He's 1 over on the day today, but that has been common. Scottie Scheffler, 1 under 69. He is in, tied for a second with Tom Kim. He is 1 under as well, 2 over in his round today. Sam Stevens, 2 over today. He's at -1. Those are the only players under par. And you have a fairly large group at even par. Matt Fitzpatrick struggled out of the gate, former U.S. Open champion. I think it was 3 over after 3, still 3 over through 13. So Wyndham Clark by 5. But if it ends this way, it would be Clark and Scheffler. Clark trying to win a second straight U.S. Open. Scotty trying to complete the career grand slam. Hey, we got to run. Big thanks to Jonathan Lowe. Jonathan, always good to work with you. Twins and Diamondbacks from Phoenix tonight. We'll be on the air at 8:30, your first pitch after 9 here on CCO.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.